don't know if we're recording or not yet. Honestly.
I'm pretty sure we are.
I mean, you know your husband better than we do.
Yes.
And thank goodness for that.
Oh, someone had to.
I'm not it.
I was going to say, like, what else was happening like 12 years ago? And then I went, I think it's actually been longer than that.
For vilification tennis.
Yeah. I was thinking about something a little closer to home.
Oh, what? I was thinking, that like Salsa and I would make weird children.
AON Lab?
Oh.
Oh.
Yes, but you might get a full beard out of the deal.
That's true.
That's real up in the air for our children currently.
Which one of us is the beard?
James.
Yeah.
James.
Yeah. Greetings, Apropos. And buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your host,
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna, and very special guest.
It's Raiderly. I'm not going to be here for very long, but I'm just here for I'm here for the booze.
You are so very special to
us. I am. And I love you all because I, yeah.
And there's a reason she's here for the booze, because this is episode 700. Which means
we gonna
have,
do the thing?
We have champagne.
Is it going to do the thing?
That's I'm hoping it'll do the thing.
God damn it.
Aim away from the creature.
Oh, God.
That's his face.
Oh, right. No, that's me.
Right. No. Whose face? Why are you aiming that at piss poor?
Because he's
he just would appreciate it. Yeah. Yeehaw. Oh, it's very exciting
bubbles
to see
all
you.
Over. Bubbles all over.
Oh, Lordy.
You know what?
I'm going to have to clean this rug later.
I was about to say, Raiderly,
why?
Not your problem.
No, not
in your
my,
house, but not your problem.
Yes, everything else in my house is much. Generally, I mean, we do. I won't want to like throw him under the bus of that, like, my husband does not clean things. But I will say my husband is not always the best at noticing things need cleaning.
I'm pretty sure I'll notice this one.
Yeah.
He's got a stand in the wet spot.
We'll point it out. Yeah.
Usually he just lays in
That's
it.
That's totally fair. Yep.
Oh, my God. Fucking
yes.
Episode
Are you sure you can't stay?
No, I'm going to go play some video games and chill the fuck out.
You are welcome to just come down and pop back
in and out over the course of the... That's what I've been doing the last however many years. Getting some me time in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I suppose. I guess.
In the meantime, we are drinking Amour de Paris. Sparkling demi-sec.
Demi-sex. I heard demi-sex.
Yeah.
Is that where there's a lot of like emotional support needed and like okay.
That's for
or
everybody.
You're only kind of a little involved with it. Yeah.
If it's not from the Amour region of France, it's just sparkling bang.
That's what everybody who grew up in the 80s thinks when they think about Demi Moore.
Actually.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I think I might identify as that, James.
No, it's what everybody who grew up in the 80s when they think about Demi Moore.
Ooh. Actually, yes.
I mean, you know what? All right.
Not wrong.
Demi Moore or Demi Moore?
Demi Moore is the person. Demi Moore is
one
more half.
Okay.
It seems either way, it's pretty demure.
I'm going to go drink this somewhere else now.
Okay. Oh, wait. Are we going
to
do...
We need to do the taste. Toast.
The toast and then the taste.
All right, to 700 episodes.
To 700 episodes, some launchers.
We fucking did it. Yay. Despite ourselves.
Hey, Vanessa, those are Italian crystal.
Cilantro.
That's not bad.
Oh, the bubbles are delightful.
Tastes like success.
Yeah.
Why do we have it?
I'm here.
My wife bought it for us,
that's why.
Thank you, Raiderly.
Not for us, but bought it.
This is when it got used.
Yeah.
I think I got this when I was working at the wine store.
Yeah,
it's been sitting
maturing,
waiting for its moment
in our wine
shelf.
And
then we went, "This is your moment," and went, "Well, I guess."
You know what? You take the breaks you're given.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Don't I know it?
Yep.
Raiderly, tell us what you would like to tell us before you leave.
I would like to tell you all that I am super proud of you all, and I love you, and this is something actually worth celebrating. I know you're going to make fun of it and like be demure because you can't actually take compliments, and I'm making you all very uncomfortable right now, and I love it.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's 700 episodes of anything. Ed is a pretty big deal. And you should be very proud of yourselves. Yeah. And I'm going to just chug this champagne and go play some Dreamlight Valley now, though. Because, and then when I go to bed tonight, I will still hear you all laughing through the air ducts up in my bedroom, two stories above me. And that will sing me to sleep, because it does every Monday night.
Here's to you.
Process things.
Yeah, no, dick joke. Dick joke.
Your dick is so small. Something small. Mm.
Your crabs hang their hats on it.
Okay, thanks. Cheers. Mm. Thank you, Rayleigh.
I'm not disappointed, but I'm disappointed.
Thank you, Rayleigh. You're what awesome. Used
to. She's not
Thank
angry.
You.
It's more than I deserve.
Thank you for saying the nice things that we're incapable of saying.
I know.
Or listening to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, making you squirm is maybe a joy.
Oh, God. Have fun with your gaming.
I'm going to go leave, you know, and be a really cool adult.
Yeah. It's the only way to do it.
Oh, I want to go play games. Can I go play games?
I mean, you're an adult. You get to make whatever choices you want.
Ah, shit, yeah. Raiderly, wait up.
I literally cannot stop
Aww,
you.
Oh, she told me. Fine, yeah. I'll be in charge of the boys.
Keep us out of trouble.
Somebody's got to own this podcast.
I don't know that I'm going to keep you out of trouble, but I will keep you out of more
legal
trouble.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Like, there will be trouble.
Right
but
here
it
in
won't
River
be
City.
Like, with a capital T.
And that rhymes with P.
And there's a wet spot on the
pool.
Carpet.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh.
Of the pool of champagne
bop,
on the floor.
Bop, bop,
yeah.
Bop, bop.
That was a really good pop.
That was great.
I'm curious. I'm going to have
and
to go back.
And it bounced all over the place.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back and see how much that exploded our audio.
Cartoon ricochet.
My sad concern is that it hit none of it at all whatsoever. And there's just a moment of silence, and we're just, like, that was awesome!
It spiked too much.
And our audience is like, what the fuck are they talking about?
Now, if only we had somebody who was experienced
really
with creating
cool
sound effects for radio programs, they could duplicate.
Okay, good enough.
Just like that, except way better.
It was, it bounced like five or six different times off of that corner.
It was like a cartoon.
It really was.
Yeah.
And
I was waiting for the anvil to fall.
I'm very proud that you did not break Pizbor. So.
Yeah. None of the Pizbor swords fell off the wall.
Yeah.
There was no Rube Goldbergian.
No, I honestly was expecting
Doomsday
that to give a little like boop and then
No,
that fucking exploded.
It went,
yeah, that's been marinating there for a while, apparently. this is a really good one. Again, this is Amour de Paris, sparkling demi-sec.
Je te dis français pour ton fond.
I don't know if champagne has years, but
gentlemen,
I see a year.
Or reasonable facsimiles, I actually... Shortly before I got here, I ended up having a conversation in French, and I mostly understood what was happening, and it was weird.
Doing a hell of a lot better than me.
I was like, I basically said I studied French for 3 years, and I don't understand much, and they told me that they had studied French for quite a while. Both high school and university. I understood it when they said that, and that was like, could I repeat it right now? No, but I did understood what they said. And I was like, oh, so you've got a lot of French under your belt. And they were like, yep. Except they said it in French to really rub my nose in it, because I said my response in English because I did not have... three times as much French as they had. Right. I was like, and they're like, so what?
Unter Belton.
Yeah. And what's, here's the thing. Here's the thing that's glorious. So I did this at BLB, Brand Lake Bowl. And the Brand Lake Bowl is currently serving a cocktail called the Adult Lemonade, which is lovely. It is, it's basically a whiskey lemonade, and it is delightful. It's so good. And it will fuck you up real quick, whether you're paying attention or not. Huh. So the server was coming around, and we were still trying to talk in French. And my friend asked what it was that I wanted to drink. And I said, je voudrais une limonade, which is, I would like a lemonade, right? But here's the thing. That is my go-to, like, also, I remember some basic phrases in French. Like, quelle heure est-il? What hour is it? What's the time? Right? Je m'appelle. Like, things like that. Like, very basic phrases that you learn when you start to study. And so, je voudrais, I would like, un limonade, or un hot dog, or whatever, right? Being able... No, that's literally how you say hot dog in French. And it is ridiculous, and I love it.
That is the most Clouseau fucking thing.
Because France is like, I'm sorry, what do you want us to name? No.
Yeah.
Fuck you. We're using your bullshit name. And... everyone in France is going to know that this is a bullshit fucking thing.
Yep.
Because we refuse to come up with something that actually fits our culture.
Sure.
And I think that's lovely.
And we're not going to call it a hot dog. So we'll call it an...
Lut dog. So good. So anyway, like, but yeah, je voudrais un... And then whatever it is. Limonade, hot dog, steak frites, whatever. Like, you just that's how you order things. And so I was like, je voudrais un lemonade.
Royale with cheese.
Fuck you.
No, without cheese.
Oh my god. I
can't have dairy.
I hate you both so much right now. Like, I can't even begin with what you said. I just. Anyway, je voudrais un lemonade. Is the phrase that I use when I'm like, yeah, I can speak French, except that it actually applied to the situation I was in. And I was like, fuck, 25 goddamn years later,
a broken
and finally
French
I am able to order a fucking lemonade in French. And the server was like, I'm sorry, what? And I was like... My friend got it because she and I were speaking French to each other. But the server was like, what? I was like, another adult lemonade, please. Like,
you didn't do the American thing and just repeat it in the same language, but louder and
je
slower?
Je voudrais un limonade, s'il vous plaît.
Lemonade.
God damn it. But I was so excited that after... 30 fucking years of knowing that phrase, I actually got to use it in a context in which it was intended. Kind of.
And the response was, what?
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 It was so good. I was so happy.
Fantastic.
So anyway, what have you guys been up to? I've got more, but whatever.
Many things. Many things.
Thing and start.
So for the last couple of weeks, I've been being an accountability buddy. For two friends going to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And so on so Mondays, happy. Wednesdays, and Fridays,
Fridays,
I've been working out
I'm
for
so
90
happy
minutes.
For you guys.
And it's nice. It's really good. It is encouraging me to get out of bed, which really...
Sure.
These days...
I get that. Because we had daylight savings last weekend, too. I'm sure that fucked everything up for you in the morning.
Just the opposite. It was easier to get out of bed.
Easier to get out of bed, but like
later,
it felt
yeah.
weird.
It did.
Is what I meant. Like,
yeah.
You're like, but the sun's up. I'm confused.
That was legitimately very fucking weird today.
Right. Yeah.
So
I assume.
Yeah, because I'm used to. We'll go hang out on the treadmills for 30 minutes. We don't even start them. But we'll
just chill.
Yeah. You know.
Pass a bottle of water around you because you
zero,
can't drink there.
0 miles is a speed.
A protein shake. Just
water.
So
protein shake.
And then watch the sunrise through the windows as we head over to the, you know, the workout machines. It's nice. Do a lap around the building so that we stop getting that, like, time travel portal, like, whooshing light speed effect. When you,
what?
If you're on a treadmill for a fucking half an hour.
Which usually I only do it for 5 to 10.
Right.
As a warm-up when I'm doing strength training. So I'm confused why you're there for half an hour. But
your body gets used to, no matter how fast your feet are traveling, you are stationary. And so once you get off of the treadmill, it feels like you're traveling incredibly fast when you're walking.
Land legs.
Cannot say that I'm familiar with this one.
Weirdly,
it's kind of like land legs for a boat.
Yeah. Or if you stare at a spiral for 30 seconds and then look at something else, it looks like it.
But it's half an hour on the treadmill is my norm.
You might just be used to it.
That's possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, I feel like if you build up to it 5 minutes at a time, you probably don't. But we just hopped on there for a half an hour my first time. And I was like, I'm having the weirdest fucking experience. And they went, it is very strange, isn't it?
When I do strength training, I don't spend that much time on a treadmill. So I haven't experienced that. It's like 5, maybe 10 minutes max.
Gotcha.
Because it's just the warm-up to all of the, my God, lifting that we're about to do.
Yeah.
See, I'm doing, completely suddenly lost the word.
Cardio?
Endurance. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
That's what I'm...
Well, and that's what I'm about, too, because the two things that I want to improve are, the feeling of being strong. I have reached a point where I've got love handles and I'm just going to, and that's fine. I like the way that I look. I just want to feel stronger.
Sure. Absolutely.
Because there was a time when I would just move a whole fucking couch by myself. I would just put it up on my head and carry it somewhere. Right. But I don't do farm chores anymore. And so I need to...
Yeah, we're not unloading a flat of bales anymore.
Right.
Have you considered going back to a farm and doing farm chores?
I have.
I'm not surprised.
But it's a little weird.
I said that but also I was like, I bet James has thought of this already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. Yeah. My cousins have a farm, and the problem is that there are enough of those cousins on that farm that they don't need... spare help right now.
They don't need spare parts.
Yeah.
All right.
So that.
Ask me about the horror festival later.
So it feels good to get back into lifting and carrying and pushing and pulling and all of that stuff. But also, I want to improve my endurance for the fest season because this last season wiped me the fuck out.
Yeah, no, that's exactly for me. Is when I do festivals all summer and I get done with them, and at the end of the day, I'm just fucking beat.
Yep.
Because I can't.
I need to follow you on this segment, by the way.
Yeah. All right.
Keep going.
So, did all of that. So this Friday, worked out for 90 minutes, and then Saturday, I spent several hours helping to close up, clean up, and button up a particular area of the fest grounds for winter. And it's a place that has not been cleaned, I presume, since the last time Jenna was there.
Which was 30 fucking years ago.
Right.
Because they found items that were there when I was there. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
30 fucking years ago.
Which area is this?
What used to be the Irish cottage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
legitimately over 30 years ago.
I was lifting and carrying. I was tending the fire and moving stuff around, furniture, sweeping stuff out and all of that. And by the end of the day, I felt... wrung out.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, I need to help put stuff back in and organize stuff on the shelves and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Any minute now, I'm going to move. Any second now, I'm going to stand up and get to... we're leaning forward. Done. And then drove the hour home. 40 minutes, whatever. And then the next day...
Nobody's fact-checking this.
I had volunteered to help a friend finish moving. So I went to my friend's house.
I feel like that's on you.
It is.
Yeah, okay.
But also it's my best friend, former landlord.
Oh,
yes.
Charles?
Yes.
All right.
Oh, you've heard of him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Never heard of him.
Former landlord?
Yeah.
All right.
Dildo Man.
First time hearing of it.
I'm sure it is.
So
for you, Salsa.
Had
specifically for you.
I drove over there and did a bunch of sorting, organizing, loading trucks, and then did a second couple loads of that stuff, like loading up trucks and jeeps and all of that stuff, and then went home, drove my spouse around so that they could close their show, and then drove them to the cast party, and then drove them home, and then woke up this morning at 5 to go work out for 90 minutes.
Sucker.
Yeah, truly. Like 4 days of
You joined this crew at the right or the wrong moment, and I'm not sure which it is, but I'm pretty sure you chose poorly.
Well, I was there in one of the weight machines, and my legs were sore, and I was thinking, like, I've still got a whole fucking day and then podcasting ahead of me.
Yeah.
And then I thought, I'm always either going to have a whole day ahead of me or a whole day behind me.
Oh, shit. That got weirdly motivational. I don't know how I feel about that.
And if I want to feel better the next time, I gotta do this. I gotta be serious about it.
Yeah. God damn it.
But yeah.
I'm angry that you were, like, real and motivational about that. I just need you to know. I'm like,
I don't know what you expected.
That was
for you to be you.
Yeah.
I can still be mad about it.
Yeah.
That's what he didn't know what was expected, and that was the answer.
Expect it and still be mad about it.
Yeah, no, I have done various festivals, and halfway through the day, I'm just like... Mm-hmm. You know, especially if there's like a hill or something, you know, and it's just like, I need to hit the gym.
Honestly, I think it was the lack of late night drinking that made this season so hard for me.
Well, that's not happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
anyway,
Jenna.
So I'm going to dovetail into that one for a second.
I've
also been working out more. Mm. So here's the thing. I wasn't here last week. Mm-hmm. Most listeners don't care, but a couple might. And
I was going to say, highly attentive listeners may have noticed.
May have no, there was garlic
salsa
and onion.
Salsa was talking
involved.
Over no one.
Okay, that's really well played.
Fuck you.
No, I wasn't here last week because of Horror Festival.
Sure.
And I'll talk about that in a minute. But what I wanted to touch on was the exercise working out aspect. There were a few things that happened over the past couple of weeks where I haven't been here to talk about them. And I'm not going to go at length into many of them because I have already talked a good amount about my medical stuff.
Sure.
I will say I went into the doctor. The doctor was like, we could do surgery. We could also do medication. Things that I love about my doctor is she was like, it is ultimately up to you, but I am going to recommend medication, and this is why.
Hmm.
She's like, if you're still like, fuck you, take it out. I will do it. And I was like, well, now I'm going to contemplate the medication because I feel like you have my best interests at heart. So we did talk about at length the various things that were necessary and what needed to happen surrounding medication. And there were various ways of getting... Basically, when I say medication, I'm talking about hormone replacement therapy. So that's the thing I share with my daughter. That's great. But like, basically, like, you get to a certain age and your hormones aren't kicking in the way you want them to, or your body's not reacting to the amount of hormone that's happening, and you just supplement or replace or adjust or whatever. So I'm basically on a prescription of a fuck ton of progesterone and a little bit of estrogen just to, you know, keep things going a little bit.
A gentle breeze of estrogen.
Yeah. I estrogen for flavor is the way I've been describing
Measure
it.
With your just, uterus.
Just a, not my uterus. No, you're just... That's going to be real hot.
Just a pinch.
Just a pinch.
A soupçon.
A soupçon.
Like, looking
or
at the
in
numbers...
English, a Susan.
God damn it.
I Oh, Salsa.
No.
I don't know if you're going to love this joke or hate it.
I'm really mad.
But I sent somebody a text to a picture that they sent, and I was like, that's incredible. Or as the French say, and I wrote it the same way. It's because it's written the same way, but it's pronounced incroyable.
Incroyable.
But it's written the same the fucking same way.
I'm mad about this, yes. So here's the thing. Like, my progesterone is, like, almost 100 times as much as my estrogen on this prescription. Just, like, straight up. That is a vast difference. I'm so glad you got that, James. That was for us. So anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Some of these are just for us.
Some of these are just for us. But no, when we had talked about Chuck and all of my reproductive bits, there were concerns both ways.
Sure.
Medication was one way, the hormone therapy, the surgery stuff. Surgery comes with its own complications, and there are very specific medical things that I have as an individual, not just as a person assigned female at birth, that surgery could be more complicated.
Sure.
So it was encouraged for me to try doing hormone replacement therapy first. And we talked about, my poor doctor was like, so the first thing I'm going to talk about is an IUD. And I'm like, nope. And she was like, what? I was like, I don't like foreign objects in my body. And she's like, oh, that's really going to limit
racist.
Some of this.
I'd had a date like that once.
Oh.
I was like, not like.
Also racist.
Okay, but like, here's the thing. Okay, so here's the thing. Because, you know, I don't like needles. Right. I don't like any kind of puncturing my skin. I don't like any of that stuff. And the idea of an IUD in me is just like abhorrent. I, for whatever reason, it's tied in with all of that. And I think it has to do with a sense of control. Because I'm totally fine with a dick in me. Like,
that's what I've heard.
Fucking, yeah, that's technically like a foreign object inside of me. But, like, I think, here's the thing, though. And I'm being exceptionally serious in this moment.
Yes.
Talking with my doctor about this, it was much more about the control factor.
Hmm.
I cannot control an IUD in me.
Right.
I can control a dick in me. I can control a menstrual cup or a disc or a female condom or any number of things that you insert, right, that I can then remove at any point in time that I feel I want to remove.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And so my doctor was like, okay, cool. How about a vaginal ring? And I was like, okay, tell me more about that. And she's like, well, you just pop it into the thing. And I was like, oh, like a menstrual disc? And she's like, exactly. I'm like, great. In. And the difference is, like, I seriously, like, I'm fine with it because I could just yoink it out at any point. If I don't want it there, I can just take it out.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, an IUD, like it would just be in there and right. I wouldn't have any control over its existence in my body. And there is something about that that fucks with me way more than just something I'm be like, well, I don't want you there anymore and just grab it and take it out. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like there, it's a weird fucking kind of, ownership. Power, something. I don't know how to describe it. It's like it's some kind of power control thing, but over my own body.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, bodily autonomy. Yeah.
Yeah, but like,
Not having to take yourself to the mechanic to have your catalytic converter. I went somewhere.
Back it up. Put it in reverse.
I really want to see someone try to steal my catalytic converter.
Well, we'd have to get you up on the lift first,
baby.
Wouldn't take that much. So anyway, fuck.
Get you up on the lift and take out that catalytic converter.
Nope, not you, Salsa. You, no.
Hey,
nope.
How's it going?
Don't even. Nope.
Is that the sound of the hand dryer, like
no, that's the lift.
Air slowly drying out every vagina in America as lift. You're talking.
I mean, mine's pretty dry right now. I'm not going to lie.
And then here comes the sawzall.
Oh, God. Ah, nope. Get away from
my anyway, horror everything. Fest ended.
Yeah. Did it? Did it, though? Did it?
It's right.
Is it ever really?
So, anyway. So, we decided on the vaginal ring, which is basically a ring I just pop up in there.
Yeah.
And it releases all of these hormones over the course of a few weeks. And usually, when used as a form of birth control, it releases these hormones for 3 weeks, and then you take it out for a week, and you're like, ah, now a period. I get to, at the end of 3 weeks, take it out and put another one in, so I don't have to have a period ever again.
And she's going to have a run-on sentence.
Yep. And I am fine with that.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Like, so, and I've tried various forms of pill-based birth control over the course of my life. And had it affect me maybe sometimes kind of. So the doctor was like, no, these are the reasons why I think this is going to work for you. Specifically, the ratio I think is going to be good for you. The way that you're using it is going to be good. Blah, 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 blah. All of this. I popped that fucker in on day three of a period. And that's like, and I was starting to get to the point of bloody massacre in my pants. Content warning, fuck you, I guess. I don't know. welcome to womanhood. Fucking, I don't even know anymore. but like, so I popped that guy in. Within 2 days, nothing.
Jesus.
On day five, where I normally would have been at my heaviest, basically hemorrhaging, I had nothing going on downstairs. And I was like, where the fuck has this been all my life? Because it was amazing. Like, honestly, here's the thing. Like, considering the amount that I bled during my last period, before I popped that guy in, I was still over budget as far as how much you should bleed out during a period. I was like, ah, well, yep, no, that's still quite a bit. And I popped that guy in, and I was like, done. I was like, what the fuck? Like, I had a day of, like, spot, like, it started just by the end of 24 hours I was just spotting lightly, and after that it was just done.
It was like a Flex Seal ad.
Oh my god, it was there is actually
I knew exactly what you were talking about.
No, here's the thing, there is a uterine supply chain that deals in menstruation, and they have cups and discs, and they are named Flex. So
that's
even amazing. Better,
right? Yeah, that is for you, and that is honestly that cup that I was using that I'm now not using because apparently I just need to shove a bit of rubbery plastic stuff up my wahoo and I'm done. I mean, it's coated in hormones, but like, you know, I just shove it up there and I'm done.
Every date.
I wish this had been every date. This is every date I wish I had had.
So shove something rubbery up there?
Okay, well, I have done that. But, like, shove it up there and then have my period stop is really the point that I'm... Yeah. Huh. That's never happened before. So...
In these circumstances, we never use personal pronouns like your dildo, her dildo. We have to use impersonal pronouns like a dildo, the dildo.
What about my dildo?
Well, that's yours.
Excellent.
This dildo.
Which that's one of dildo. My dildos are we talking about?
The earthquake.
I mean, that's fine. So anyway. yeah, it gets the job done. So.
Meanwhile, the neighbors are standing under door frames. This is the big one, Mon!
Sometimes you need a little extra oomph. So.
Jenna's having a date like that.
Really, it's just that it's got a backup generator with a pull start.
Generator. So anyway.
That is
That is beautiful on so many levels. Like, the more I think about that joke, the more levels it has, and I'm so happy.
You want to know about my Amazon review for it? Generator, 5 stars.
Sometimes 6.
It's like there are like 5 different layers to this already that I oh, it's so good.
I just imagine if you don't have a backup power source, that the lights around in the community will start dimming. Like,
oh god,
she can only use it at night.
Man, I really wanted solar powered, but not even the sun, man. Not even the sun. So anyway.
The fucking sun dims?
Yeah.
I have some new goals.
Well, Jenna's getting 2 scoops of raisins today. Fuck.
Jesus.
So, anyway, so the ring is working great for me.
Oh, good.
And I have felt, like, here's the thing. So I've been on the ring for a week. The first couple of days... You know how, like, you go in for your COVID booster, your flu shot, and you just kind of feel gross for a few days?
Mm-hmm.
That's what that was.
Sure.
The first couple of days. And I have still... I'm finally starting to feel less of it, but, like, I felt nauseous. And I'm like, I wasn't even... Like, honestly, when I was pregnant, I didn't have morning sickness. So I was really annoyed by that. I'm like, oh, come on! There's not even anything in there. What the fuck? But yeah, so I've been nauseous for about a week, and I still kind of get a little bit, but it's less, right? Like, it's slowly figuring itself out. The other weird thing about this, you guys, cramping. I don't mean uterine cramping. My fucking calves.
Oh.
My thighs, my feet, my hands, my everything. Like, every extremity on my body was suddenly like, I'm gonna cramp now, and I'm like, what the fuck? Is going on with you? And I didn't know that was a side effect until I looked it up, and I went, oh yeah, yeah, you could get Charlie horses.
Shit.
And I'm like, fucking why though? So I had to go into a fight rehearsal while I was cramping, and like my brain was distracted, and I felt nauseous, and I'm just like, what the fuck? We got through it. It was actually a pretty good rehearsal overall.
Good.
But like, it was still annoying because I wanted to be more present for that and just. Mm-hmm. Couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But the tie-in for this is that... Oh, my God, I love that T-shirt. So, anyway, the tie-in for this is that I have actually started working out again.
Oh, yeah.
Not a lot. Bits and pieces here and there. I started by last week just getting a bunch of steps in.
Mm-hmm.
Today I did... The past couple of days I've been doing yoga. On top of things.
Nice.
Today I did some cardio. And I'm excited because with this hormone replacement therapy, one of the issues that I've been having for the past several years is back pain. And I found out when all of this was going on over the course of the past month that... Some of that back pain might be due to the adenomyosis.
Yeah.
Where the walls of my uterus are just filling up with uterine lining blood because that's what's there. And because of the expansion of the uterus during that period, that could be pressing against my back stuff.
Ouch.
And like, I did a yoga session today and I didn't hurt. Afterwards,
that's fucking awesome.
I did 10 minutes of dance cardio.
Oh,
and did not hurt afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I was physically exhausted and out of breath because I can't do cardio because my back will hurt if I walk for more than 2 minutes. Right?
Yeah.
But you see what the thing is?
Yeah.
Is like I am so out of shape for not being able to do things because of my back.
Yeah.
And now, like, I'm still being very gentle with it, but, like, I'm way more positive about this than I have been in years. And there is a part of me that is really excited that I'll be able to move my body again and do more and maybe get up to speed with various things. And another part of me is angry as fuck. Because it has been years of dealing with this bullshit and being told it was this, that, or the other thing. Mm-hmm. And nobody thought to check what was actually going on in my torso to see if there was anything affecting it outside of the fact that, like, my hips adjust a little weirdly or whatever. Like, I am mad that it took this long.
Yeah.
For when I went to the doctor about my back pain, and I went to the doctor about, like, my heavy bleeding and my weight gain, and none of that married up until I recently saw this one person who went, oh, yeah, that could be affecting that.
Jesus.
And I went, are you fucking kidding me? I have had, I'm going to guess, about being a little, what's the opposite of generous? Starts with a C. My brain isn't working right now.
Not conservative.
Conservative.
Yeah.
Being conservative on it, I'm going to say at least bare minimum 17 different fucking doctor's appointments over the past several years.
Jesus.
To try to figure out when my back hurts.
Yeah.
And to have just like, I go in for a routine thing, but I say also, this has been an issue. Have some metrics. And my doctor went, oh, well, that's some fucking bullshit. Let's figure this out. Mm-hmm. And to have that solve basically the vast majority of my medical problems I've been having over the past 7 years.
Fuck.
Fuck that. Mm-hmm. I am mad. Mm-hmm. I'm also very excited because now I get to do more physical stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, I am mad that it took that long with that many doctors, because I've probably seen about 7 or 8 doctors from different angles on this. Mm-hmm. And I'm angry that it took that long.
I get that.
Especially on the uterine side, like I brought up concerns about weight gain like 7 years ago and basically got dismissed. And then, yeah, a couple other appointments and they're like, well, that's just part of perimenopause. And I was like, I don't know, man, like this all seems like a thing. And to finally have it come down to this and nope. I'm mad about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Makes sense.
But I am excited to continue being able to move my body and regain strength.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm allowed to have more than one emotion at once, and I definitely have several right now.
I'm glad you gave her permission, James.
Uh-huh. Thank you, white male. Mm-hmm. I could talk about the Horror Fest, but Salsa, what have you been up to?
Halloween happened.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Yep.
I was busy.
I know. My kids went out and did the trick-or-treating thing.
I saw the pictures.
What did they dress as?
Things.
Oh, my God. Are you fucking kidding
me? My daughter was Maleficent, and my son was Toothless.
That's so good.
It really is. It's especially appropriate for each of them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, no, we went out, and I think my daughter is kind of starting to hit the point where she's losing steam on the whole trick-or-treating thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Jessa stopped at about 11 or 12, somewhere in there.
Yeah, no, she's hitting that point where she's just like, I just want to go home and, like, watch Beetlejuice.
That's fair.
And she's like, okay, cool. That's fine. But yeah. We went out, and we went up and down the street, you know, and then, we were going to go one way, and there was, like, one house across the street that Asher was like, I want to go to that house. We're like, okay, Asher and I, we will go over to this house, and you two go up the street, and we'll catch up. Hmm. And we go to that house over there, and that house had full-size candy bars. So when we got back, we were like, that house has full-size candy bars. And my daughter went, we're going to that house. So then my son and I were now going this way, and my daughter had to backtrack to go to that house. So my wife went with her and I went with my son. And so we got up further ahead. And then a little bit later, I called my wife and I was like, hey, we've reached this intersection. This is the direction we're going. And she's like, yeah, we're going to go back. we're done.
Yeah.
You know, so they went back to the house and they started watching Beetlejuice. And my son and I, just the two of us, we went and did a whole bunch more trick or treating.
That is really nice.
Up one street and down the other until it got to be about 7:30 and the streets cleared out and lights started turning off. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, and then we headed back, and we were fine, but, yeah.
And then you got to watch the last part of Beetlejuice.
Yeah, we walked in halfway through, and I told my son, I was like, now, when we get there, the movie's going to be halfway through. If you have any questions, ask me, not your sister. And he's like, why? And it's because she is going to be trying to watch a movie and isn't going to be wanting you talking to her, so ask me what's going on. And he's like, oh, okay.
Aww.
Oh, man.
That's so sweet.
So... but yeah, we watched the rest of that and that was kind of our Halloween. You know,
that's so good.
Kids are getting big enough at this. I mean, yeah. we're not many years where we just say fucking go do your thing and we'll just stay and drink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, or that you have a bunch of like tweens passing around a bowl of spaghetti and peeled grapes. And then watching.
Or doing that. Yeah.
Right.
Or have a bucket of potatoes on the lawn. Like that's.
I want to say, like, I think it was about 14, 15, Jessa actually started passing out candy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She was just like, yeah, I can do this.
Yeah, no, that's what my daughter wanted to do, is watch movies and pass out candy.
Yeah.
Like that,
I would love to give candy to little kids and tell them to fuck off. Like, that's great.
Which, again, considering we're all festies and are used to doing behind-the-scenes stuff as opposed to consuming, like, that seems like the thing that we're used to is no, we want to produce, not, you know, experience. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm. As a quick footnote, this was my first opportunity to take somebody else trick-or-treating.
What?
So, partner Rachel and I usually have our dates on Thursday, and Halloween was a Thursday. And I said, you know, trying to be very respectful, like, hey, do you think that your child is going to want me to tag along on the trick-or-treating adventure? Is his dad going to be there? Is he going, would he rather spend time with his dad?
Sure, yeah.
You know,
all these. Yeah.
And it turns out he was like, well, the more the merrier. So it was me, Rachel, her ex-husband, and then all three of us were like watching out for and wrangling child.
Right.
But it was such a wild experience.
Hmm.
It's my first time seeing trick-or-treating, like going trick-or-treating as an adult.
Hmm.
The last time that I wasn't just at home passing out candy or going to a Halloween party was, I think, when I was like 12 or 13. So, it was really good, but I think he might be getting up toward that age too, because he hit like 10, 12 houses and he was like, I think I want to go home. I want to play video games.
Sure.
And, you know, hang out with my friends online.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
We're like, oh, okay. We were gonna watch Hocus Pocus. Do you want to? No.
All right,
bud.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's such a cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. No. I lost it.
Okay. When was the last time you trick or treated? Because the last time I trick or treated.
Yeah.
Was when I was a freshman in college.
Oh.
Here's what's delightful. My roommate and I
mm-hmm.
weren't into drinking,
mm-hmm.
Which is hard to believe now, but back in the day, we don't want to go to the Greek houses. We don't want to go to the lame dress up thing that's happening across campus. We're just like, she's like, I don't know, man. Maybe we'll just stay in. And I was like, well, that's boring. And she's like, yeah, but what else are you going to do? And I said,
go fucking trick-or-treating.
I said, Janice, grab your pillowcase. And she was like, what?
Usually that'd be a euphemism.
As I'm peeling my pillowcase off of my pillow, I'm like, nah, we're going trick-or-treating.
Hell yeah.
And she's like, I'm not wearing a costume. I'm like, you are a sober college student.
Yep.
We're going trick-or-treating, and this is going to work. So here's the deal, though. The hall that we were staying in, that we lived in,
mm-hmm.
was Soren Hall. And so we started trick-or-treating. And this will tell you how weird and fucked up my life is in this particular circumstance, but we're trick-or-treating down the block where the houses are, mm-hmm. A block away, which happens to be Minnehaha Avenue, next to Hamline University. And we're trick-or-treating, and I suddenly, like, we knock on a door, and the door opens, and I'm like, hello, Tim. we're trick-or-treating. And he was like, what? I was like, yeah, we didn't want to go partying, so we just figured we'd trick-or-treat. So, uh-huh. And that's how I found out Tim Wick lived a block away from me the first time. so we trick-or-treated for a couple of blocks.
Wow.
And we got a, like, we were like, people would be like, what are you supposed to be? And we're like, we're sober college students that aren't going out partying. And they're like, just have some. Just take
Jesus.
It. We made out like fucking bandits.
Mm-hmm.
There were some of those houses were like, this is the best thing ever. Thank you for not puking on my front lawn.
Right.
I have more candy. Yeah. I don't know what to do here. This is great.
Yeah.
Apparently, they also didn't get nearly as many kids back then as they did later on. So, like, there are just a bunch of adults handing out candy, and we're like, we'll take it. And they're like, yes, please take our candy.
Right.
We seriously were lugging our pillowcases back to our dorm room afterwards.
Nice.
But then, for like a good month and a half, 2 months, people would just show up at our dorm room randomly and be like, hey, you guys got some candy?
Yeah.
And they're like, fuck yeah, come on in. We're about to watch XYZ.
Yeah.
Do you have a bucket?
Yeah.
Well, do you have a pillowcase?
specifically, our room was set up to where we had like a living area and the bedroom study area.
Yeah.
And I had a couch that I had inherited from my youth group. It was like pea green velvet.
Mm-hmm.
Just so old. But it was, so we had like an actual TV area, so we could just pop on whatever we wanted to
mm-hmm.
on the TV and be like, yeah, we're just about to watch this thing. As we put something in the VCR and or the DVD player. And,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
I brought the VCR. and yeah, we just have people over and they would eat candy and we would watch things. On a pea green velvet couch that was like
hell yeah.
6 inches off the ground. It was great.
Yep. Yeah.
I do miss my old neighborhood. The neighborhood I live in now is pretty quiet.
Yeah.
You know, we get a few dozen people that stop off at you know, for Halloween.
Hmm.
Where we used to live in the city, we would have 200.
Yeah.
People show up, and it was busy, and the street was just packed yeah. with people.
Right.
And so, like, you'd go down the street, and there would be people on the front lawn having parties, having bonfires, you know, and stuff like that.
Mm.
So, in a way, we kind of went trick-or-treating, because we would walk down the street, and we would get to a house, and they'd be like, here's a bowl of candy for the kids, and here's a little airline bottles of booze for the adults.
Yeah.
And,
oh, I remember doing that.
Yeah.
Up top. Boom.
Pow.
And so, yeah, we'd get candy and booze, and that would be our adult trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, it was... Yeah. I've kind of gone trick-or-treating in the past few years, but I do kind of miss that like, community where everybody
right.
just went. Like everybody was yeah. outside.
Yeah.
You know? Even my trick-or-treating... When I was a kid, trick-or-treating for me was extremely different from the trick-or-treating
same.
That I had seen
yeah,
on
TV. Yeah, we've discussed
TV.
This in the past.
Yeah, having my dad drive me.
Yeah, we had to drive. We waited for the neighbors to come to our house, and then we drove to the, you know,
yeah.
five closest neighbors, and then
right.
we were done.
Which, yeah. for inner city, Mom would just pile us into the car, and we'd go to the nearest mall.
Mm.
Yeah.
Especially for the blizzard of 91.
Yeah.
We went to Maplewood Mall.
That's
great. We were like... two of, like, maybe seven children that were in the mall that year
hell
because
yeah.
it was snowing as fuck. And, like, every fucking mall store was just like, here, take it, and just upending
hell
candy.
Yes.
In New York. That was the best candy year for us. And, honestly, I was, like, 12 at that point. So it was basically my last candy.
Candy.
Mm. Yeah.
the other blizzard of 91.
I am sad though that with the Horror Fest being where it has been for the past few years, like I can't really pass up candy. I've got a horror festival I'm running.
Yeah.
But 2 years ago, with the fire on the side of the yard, and everybody complimenting James on my decor, and every passing time out little airplane bottles, like, it was great. There was the one little girl that was like, she didn't assume. She asked. She was like, who did this? And I was like, I did the decor. And she was like, this is awesome. And I was like, thank you, little girl. You are giving me hope for the future right now. But we passed out airplane bottles then, too. Adults get a little treat, too.
Well, should we take a break?
Yeah, probably.
All right. I could use a little more to drink. Yeah.
Cool. All right, we're going to take a break, and then we'll probably talk about a horror festival, is my guess.
I will talk about that for ages.
All right, we'll be back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast. People sort of laughed very genially, and then something else came up, and I made a wisecrack, and someone said, should have stopped at hot dog.
Oh my God.
I believe that to be correct.
I should have stopped at hot dog.
Yeah.
Should have stopped at hot dog. That's the next t-shirt?
I was going to say that is...
We're not even recording, but I feel like...
Oh, no, we're back. I'm Salsa. Oh.
I'm James.
Right. I'm Jenna.
Whenever James is just going on, and it's just, we should have stopped at hot dog.
You know that at Booth, they will look at me... People who've been there for 10 or more years will look at me and go, hot dog.
Oh, that's what that is.
Oh.
Yeah.
Should have stopped at hot dog.
Should have stopped at hot dog.
I mean, I'm glad I know this now.
Mm.
What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, Horror Festival.
Horror Festival. Oh, my God, you guys. So the Twin Cities Horror Festival wrapped up last night. Do not ask me what time I got to bed. I'm
what
here
time
now.
Get to bed?
Fuck off.
The royal you.
But it was 12 days of horror this year.
On as opposed to our regular 11. Fest.
Because the festival started off with Leslie Vincent doing a one-off show as kind of a prequel to the festival on Wednesday before the 11 production festival started proper. A sold-out show that was a Leslie Vincent cabaret with spooky songs and dance and all sorts of weird, random, spooktacular stuff. Mm-hmm. Leslie Vincent, I should say, just so everyone's aware... she used to, when I joined the board, she was the marketing director for the Twin Cities Horror Festival.
Hmm.
And she left to pursue a career in jazz.
Nice.
She has an incredible voice. She is very good at what she does. And she only did the Horror Festival for the one day for us before she went out to New York to do a fucking show out there in a jazz club.
Holy shit.
So, like, she's doing all right.
Where they've got the reefer cigarettes.
Yeah, she, like, seriously, though? Like, she's fucking 2 years in. She's about to make it big.
Nice.
That's amazing.
And I'll be able to be like, I knew her when. Mm-hmm. Also, we have matching dresses, which was really awkward that one time we showed up to that one event.
Oh.
So, anyway.
It was a wedding.
She wore it better. It wasn't a wedding. It was actually a Reverend Matt thing. Aww. But, like, she wore it better. So I'm just like, well, that checks out. But she's also just the sweetest fucking person ever.
Mm-hmm. Salsa, the bathroom is down the hall.
Yes, Salsa.
Why is that awkward?
When two people wear the same dress?
Yeah. I've never understood that.
So, there is a subculture for femme people, women specifically, in how we are perceived, that we should be continuously vying for attention. And so if two people are wearing the same thing, that is a direct competition in that vying for attention. So that's one aspect of it that's just kind of a carryover from older times
Okay.
That feeds into that. But I think that for a lot of us, speaking as a woman, supposedly, something in the femme genre, there's kind of like a personal point of pride in being able to wear something that is uniquely yours.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody else is wearing the same thing that you spent so much time on, like trying to make uniquely yours, it's a little awkward. It's like, oh, shit. I thought I was original, but we both have the same idea. It's kind of like coming up with the same bit from two different angles.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
that
not,
makes sense.
It's not the end of the world, but it is kind of awkward. It's like, ah, fuck. Kind of a thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, you were saying.
And, yeah, honestly, it wasn't really awkward for me and Leslie. It's... I'm making more of a joke based on past history stuff. We were both delighted and took pictures. We're like, look at us.
So the opposite of that.
She's so worried better. dude, she's like 10 years younger and a total hottie. Like, I'm not mad about this. But yeah, she's, so she went out to New York to do jazz stuff in actual New York jazz clubs, and is she's on her way.
Jeez, yeah.
In the next year or two, you'll be like, oh, Leslie Vincent. Everybody knows who that's at. And I was like, I knew her before. Mm. So that was the first, like, prequel day for the festival, but then the rest of the festival happened. And the rest of the festival was incredible. I've been on the board for the Twin Cities Horror Festival for a few years now. This is my third season on the board proper. My second season as the president of the board. This is the best fucking horror festival we've had in the past few years. There was not a bad show among them. And like usually every year there's like, you know, that newer person that you're like, oh, well, a little bit more mentorship or...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's your first show, you're getting there.
They're nine-tenths of the way there.
The concept is there, you're just not as polished as you could be or something like that. No, every fucking show this year was polished.
Mm-hmm.
It was exactly what it intended to be, and it was exactly what it should have been. There was no show... Like, some of the shows were not my thing or my flavor. But like this is where my 70s furniture thing comes in. Like, I can appreciate good 70s furniture for its form and its functionality, but I don't want it in my house.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right.
No, it's Conan O'Brien. I understand he's a comedic genius, and I look at his jokes and go, that's fucking genius. I just don't find him funny.
Cool. So anyway, 70s furniture.
I get it.
No, I get what you're saying, but like, I already made that just in 70s furniture. So,
yeah, but I was making it make sense to me.
Okay. Salsa, why would you make furniture out of Conan O'Brien? That's
okay. Actually, I'm in for that.
Do you know how tall he is? You can make a lot of furniture with his skin.
You can make like one bookcase,
coat rack, Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Anyway. So 70s furniture, like there's a lot of stuff out there that I look at and I'm like, you are very beautifully functionally what you are. You are dead on for your aesthetic and what you are trying to achieve. And you are just not my thing. I don't want you in my house. Right? Like, it's not my style.
Sure.
So, but even that said, like a lot of the horror that we had this year, I was like, okay, you can come over for a cup of coffee. Like, it was all really fucking good.
Yeah.
I think one of my personal delights was Spiral Theater. A younger group of kids, at least in my mind, I'm old, so, like, don't be offended.
They could be Spiral anywhere Theater. Into their 30s.
Yeah, they could be almost 40 at this point and be like, oh, you kids. But, like, they are newer to the scene. And they've done shows over the past couple of years, both for the Horror Festival and for the Fringe Festival. Last year, they did a show called Overoon, which was about the bridge in Scotland where dogs just, like, commit suicide.
Yeah.
I remember you talking about that one.
Yeah. And like they're very good. They're very silly. There's kind of like a Monty Python-esque vibe to them, where they're silly, they're clever, They have puns. They have a specific pattern and a way of going about things. And I think Suicidal Dogs was just not quite the right topic for their vibe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, they did a really good job with it, especially when they had a bunch of hot dogs flying down. Like, it was
I
great.
Think you mean
dog. But, like, it just, it didn't quite connect. This year, holy fuck these kids. They did a show called Ghost Runner.
Mm-hmm.
And the show itself was based on the idea, so there's a person who, like, I don't know, work from home accountant, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also a huge gamer. He likes doing tabletop role play gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of dice involved. Great. Cool. Who doesn't love that? That obviously we can all connect to that. But he had gone to a baseball game and didn't enjoy baseball, but enjoyed the statistics of it.
Right.
And he basically developed his own tabletop baseball game.
Mm-hmm.
And he had various tables for what actions and what things happened. And he could play it by himself with the characters that he had written up and developed and the stories that he had in his mind. And so when we start, it's just this one dude sitting at a table playing this game by himself, which is a little like, and he's playing this game with these baseball players, and he has one particular baseball player that he loves. It's his favorite baseball player. And this baseball player is up to bat, and he's doing the thing, and he gets snake eyes.
Mm.
Fuck. Now he needs to move to the other super table of doom, right? And add another die. And so, like, there's all these extra things that could happen. And he rolls
Even
the
Jenna's
dice.
Jenna's entertainment is spreadsheets.
Hold on. So he rolls these dice, and it's three dice that all have one.
Hmm.
It's like a triple snake eyes kind of situation. Mm-hmm. And then this character dies.
Oh.
His favorite character dies. And a lot of the rest of the story in this is him dealing with the grief of killing off his favorite character in his imaginary brain world.
Jesus.
But we're seeing these characters as actual people in the play.
Right.
And we see this fantasy world. In this alternate fantasy world thing, these characters, these baseball players, want to figure out how this one character died, and there's like factions that split off based on that. Meanwhile, dude in the real world is getting phone calls from work being like, why haven't we seen you online? And it's just this beautiful conglomerate of reality versus fantasy and how they intertwine. And it was fantastic. Like, the patter that they have and the cleverness that they have and the puns that they have.
Mm-hmm.
I swear to God, Duck sits next to me every time I go to see a Spiral Theater show just to watch me react to the puns. I swear to God, that is exactly what happens. And I want to say, like, last year
some
and this
of these
year.
Are just for us.
Last year and this year, I believe it was Duck on one side of me and Tim Wick on the other for both of them. Like, they were just like, let's go watch Jenna be cringe at all of this.
The meta show.
But they actually worked that kind of cleverness, that silliness, that I want to say British-style comedy, that kind of Monty Python-esque wackiness into this in such a way that really lent itself to the what's reality, what's fantasy, what are we leaning into on this? How much do I hold on to and how much is just being silly?
Sure.
It was really well done. And I was so proud of what I consider to be these kids, even though they're probably closer in age to me than my daughter. Like, I'm just like, it was super good. And they had some great effects. Some of it was historically based, even. They talked about baseball players that actually existed. And some of them talked about weird random, and at one point they have a montage of weird random shit that happened to baseball players.
Oh.
Including the time that this one baseball player hit a baseball, and the baseball hit a bird that just kind of exploded.
I've watched that animated Heath. Okay, so here's the thing. It's many so times
they did that live on stage. It was a balloon filled with feathers, and so as they're just real fast going through it. They're like, and then there was this guy who he hit this thing, and then the baseball hit this bird, and he exploded. And they just popped the balloon, and feathers went everywhere, and it was so good.
Holy
it was so
shit.
Delicious, James. Fantastic. It was beautiful. One of the other things that I loved, because last year they did a lot of scene changes, and mm-hmm. they took forever, and I think that really kind of bogged them down. This year, they did not move much except for the actual table that they were using for the tabletop game.
Yeah.
The rest of the set stayed stationary. And they do have a live band that played. They played a very fucked up version of Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Ooh. Like, we all know it can be played creepy, but until you're right there listening to somebody playing it creepy as fuck, you're just like, ah! Okay. But they also... So, like, Dangerous Productions is known for doing a lot of blood effects. They're known for doing the most amount of blood effects. And they did not disappoint this year. They did a show called Dr. Clown. It was actually comedy. It was a little weird because I expected the horror to come from there. And they did horror comedy. And I related to too much of it because a lot of their comedy was based on... like, one of their closing bits was about a woman who was just hemorrhaging from her vagina. At one point, they just had her stand in a kiddie pool. And I was like, yep, that feels real.
Fuck.
That is correct. That is basically what doctors have told me to do. Great. Cool. And it was. It was very well done social commentary, but not what I expected from them. So sure. I was like, eh. But I felt like Spiral Theater and their baseball show, instead of laying out a tarp like Dangerous Productions, and they did, like Dangerous Productions.
Oh.
Like, for their tech. Like, they came in with this tarp, and I was like, oh, Dangerous is doing tech.
They're
next.
Fucking
great.
Sponsored by Menards.
I was, like, that's... Well, no, like, they just walked in. They had a cart with the tarp on it that was kind of pinkish-reddish, and I was like, oh, yep. Dangerous is doing the next tech. All right. Like, I didn't even... No further questions. That's just what's happening next. But Spiral Theater did a similar... They took that concept of, like, having the tarp out for all of the blood effects, and they did have some good blood effects. There was a baseball that went through a chest, and so they dug the baseball out and just lifted it up, and there was blood everywhere. It was so good. But instead of a tarp, they had turf.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was just... Half the stage was just turf for the entire time.
That's pretty smart.
And it was great. Beautiful. Absolutely fantastic. So I was very happy with Spiral Theater for what they did. Again, Dangerous Productions did Dr. Clown, which was commentary on medical, and it was funny and wacky and not what I expected from Dangerous. Like, it took me about a third of the show to be like, oh, they're just doing... really horrific blood effect sketch comedy. Oh, well, all right. I'm in then.
Nice.
Fuck. And then I could relax and enjoy the rest of the show. But that first third, I was like, okay, so what are they building into? Where's the horror? Oh. They had one sketch, though, that was my particular favorite. There's two people waiting in the waiting room. And they have some bowler caps on, like little suit coats. It's two of them. And they're waiting for their name to be called.
Oh.
And they continue waiting for their name to be called.
Mm.
And as they're talking, they're like, will our name ever be called? They were waiting for Dr. Godot. It was a complete Waiting for Godot sketch.
That's so good.
Hit on every fight. They lifted exact text from Waiting for Godot and just shifted it slightly in very specific spots. I was laughing my fucking ass off.
That's amazing.
Like, two other people were like, well, yeah, Jenna, it's funny, but come on. Like, I was dying over this Waiting for Godot bit in the middle of the, in this waiting room, just waiting to see if their name will ever be called. I was like,
God damn.
This is so good right now.
That's fucking good.
Oh, it was beautiful. I'm not going to have time to go through every fucking production for this. I'm going to highlight a few people. So Let's Summon a Demon at Debbie's was one of our studio shows. And I want to say our studio shows fucking knocked it out of the park this year.
Nice. Into some guy's chest, apparently.
Huh?
Huh?
Wrong show. Let's Summon a Demon at Debbie's was complete camp comedy horror.
Amazing.
Just, there was one point at which a character was stressed out and was like, do you have any wine? And the other character was like, yes. And she starts drinking from the wine bottle. Mm. She continues to drink from the wine bottle.
Mm.
And she continues to drink from the wine bottle.
Ooh.
And a minute and a half later, she finishes the wine bottle. Like, we as an audience are just sitting there watching her drink an entire fucking wine bottle of liquid.
Oh.
And it was one of those, it was like pen behind the ear, where it's like funny, and then not funny, and then fucking hilarious, and then like, okay, but what the fuck? And then just rolling on the floor, like, holy shit, she is.
I have to imagine and that when she finally finished, the crowd went ape.
We did. Yep. Absolutely, we Brilliant. Did. We were like, fuck yes! Go! Yes! Absolutely! But what's super fun about that, being a person who's in the background for a lot of this, so she finished this wine bottle, but it was like within the first 10 minutes of a 60-minute show. So when the show was done, when that 60 minutes was up and they did their curtain call and everybody goes out, you watch this actor fucking book it for the bathroom. Huh. Oh. She'd been sitting on a bottle full of, like a wine bottle full of liquid for 50 fucking minutes. Because she nailed that bit, though. She just chugged the entire thing on stage in front of everybody.
Bladder of steel.
Right?
Yep. That's amazing.
Yeah. So yeah, like, that one was good. I will say the most disturbing show that we had this horror festival.
Yes.
Oh my god. Shellist.
Mm.
It was the other studio show. This was a one-man show that was also a musical.
Mm.
Hmm. About a guy who likes to watch.
Oh.
Right? Mm. Like I said, the most disturbing show. But here's the thing, it's not a sexual thing. He just likes to watch, like Truman Show style. He likes to watch people do things. And so, like, the whole premise is that he has paid people to install cameras in their houses so he can watch them live their lives. Right?
Sure.
Fucked up. Great.
Early fucked internet up, shit.
Like, yeah.
Actually, what's more fucked up is I was thinking, like, would I do that? And maybe, if the price was right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Mm. So, but as we're learning about this character and his life, we start getting the backstory on his boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And how they ended up not being together anymore from his perspective. And then towards the end of it, the boyfriend shows up and we get the boyfriend's perspective.
Oh.
And we find out that this guy has murdered these two other people that he had been watching the entire time. One of which he had dug out his eyes because this guy had like glasses and poor eyesight. And so this one person that he'd been watching for a while, like, he just took his eyes and blended them up and made a lotion that he thought would help his own eyes see better. And it did, so there's some weird psychological bullshit happening there.
Oh.
Right. Fucking heavy, disturbing bullshit. Tempered with the most bouncy fucking songs you have ever heard. This guy...
Da, 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 da.
Oh my god. It was, I can probably, so one of them, the one about the eyes specifically, so this guy is kind of going Fight Club, where he's got like a dual personality, and he doesn't realize he's doing the things that are happening in his life.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just a box that showed up on his doorstep that happened to have these eyes.
Sounds like Seven to me.
Oh.
I'm going Fight Club in that he really didn't realize at the point in the story that he was the one doing it. So he does this song about, well, if you found a lost puppy and you took that puppy home, you would be a hero for giving that puppy a home. So why can't I do that with these eyes? I didn't do these to these eyes, but I should give them a home. That would make me a hero. And it is such a psychological, disturbing mind fuck of a fucking thing. And the song, I'm trying to remember the actual song, which pisses me off because it was a fucking earworm for me for the past 7 days while this guy was
You are finally
show.
Free.
Don't and it's the law of finders keepers. Where'd I get those peepers?
Oh, God.
Oh, man, oh, jeepers. And it's the law. Like, it was seriously that fucking perky and that fucking
Jesus
whatever.
Jesus Christ.
It was so good. It was the juxtaposition that he pulled throughout the course of that. But here's... And so now you're all thinking this is fucked up already.
Mm.
Here's the real fucked up part.
Ha!
So this show, like I said, ostensibly a one-man show. There was a second character that came in towards the end that mm-hmm. was the boyfriend that he, you know, killed for parts.
You know.
Like you do.
Yeah.
As one
but
does.
Over the course of this entire show... they have there's the black back wall was kind of blank and is often used as a projector in the studio space.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he was talking about watching these people, he would have video projection of these people come up as if it was on the monitor of his computer, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
So he'd do computer clicking and then you'd be able to see these people. And then 2 minutes to the end, he had just killed his boyfriend for parts, and he was like, so this is really why you're here. Because I need so many more parts to make me whole. And you all have so many parts. And as he's saying this, on the back wall, a video pops up of the audience. He had pointed a camera at the audience to be able to project for this 2 minute at the end thing.
Holy fuck.
It was fucked up and the most disturbing thing, and I fucking loved it so hard. It was so delicious and so good.
Very good.
Oh, it was the most horror thing to happen this horror festival, in my opinion.
I'm gonna kill you.
Basically, yeah. No, and he was very perky about the whole thing.
Yep.
Like, and he finished up, and like, I'd run into this guy several times over the course of the festival. And like, you know, he's wrapping up. We're getting towards the end of closing everything down for the evening. And I was like, I can't look at you right now, Keith. He was like, well, don't you want to be my friend? And I'm like, no, not right now. I do not. I'm sorry. Talk to me tomorrow. We'll figure this out.
Right now, I have some things to process.
Yeah, I need to go home and think about life.
Not a food processor. That's the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing, though. Yeah. The eye thing. He actually used like basically the equivalent of like the little smoothie blender things, like
the bullet
Yeah, ones. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah, he basically used Jesus the bullet Christ. To blend it up, and I was like, oh, I make smoothies. Fuck. I need to...
Well,
they're all going to be eyeball smoothies now.
I have not
now.
Made a smoothie since.
That's going to live in there.
Grapes.
Congratulations.
But there were so many other amazing shows. There was Duck Washington did Fractured Remembrances, which had a fucking stellar cast, but also was one of the more disturbing ones, and possibly a bit more disturbing to me as a person with a brain injury who sometimes has memory problems.
Mm-hmm.
Fractured Remembrances was about memory problems with a very horror sci-fi twist.
Cosmic horror. Yeah.
Cosmic horror. That's great. Where there are worms that just eat your memories.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a thing. And
like
there's,
you do.
But there's also kind of an Illuminati-esque
of course
aspect
there
to
is.
It.
Yep.
Yeah. And it was really well done. There were some great effects with some flashlights. There was the movement between the current and the past.
Yeah.
All of that was very well done.
Holy shit.
It was written by and directed by Duck Washington.
I believe so.
Angela Fox played a character that I don't think anybody's ever seen her play that particular time. She went fucking evil. And it was creepy. Good. To see our bouncy little unicorn be like, and now I'm going to kill you. Ah! Oh, God. What? Nope. So, yeah, she was another person who, after their show, was like, I can't look at you right now. Yeah. I love you. You're wonderful. You're the sweetest person on the face of the planet. I can't look at you right now. I'm going to need a day. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Oh, God, there were just so many good shows, and I'm not going to be able to touch on all of them. There was a storytelling show. There was Phantom's Chorus. We do have to talk about Phantom's Chorus real quick.
Yeah.
Phantom's Chorus, that is a company that does puppeteering, a lot of puppet shows. And this year they did a dark fantasy, think like Dark Crystal, with puppets. Blacklight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was all blacklight puppets. And the story was one of those, like, it was all age accessible. Mm-hmm. But, like, it was still, like, at the end of it, you're like, oh, that's a shitty lesson to learn. And it really dealt with moral quandary.
Yeah.
Over the course of the story. Our hero kept making decisions to save his love to the detriment of others.
Mm.
Each time he had a task, it was to the detriment of others, and over the course of it, even more so. And so the story itself was delightful, and morally, like, but the blacklight and the effects on that and the ways they did. And they did insert humor in parts to help relieve tension in certain aspects. But they maintained the tension when they needed to. It was so well done.
Mm-hmm.
Phantom Chorus does a lot of amazing things. And I know they have another show coming up in a few months that has to do with dragons. I think it's happening at Phoenix.
Yes, Dealing with Dragons.
Yep. And I know several people from different angles that are working on that one, and I'm very excited to see what happens with that. Mm-hmm. So,
same.
I am missing so many other shows, but I'm sure we have to wrap it up.
Probably.
Yeah.
I only got to see a few of the shows, but I loved everything that I saw, with a particular emphasis on the Phantom Chorus show, Alchemist's Bargain, reminded me of a different show that had been my favorite of that year's Fringe, which was Dungeon. Using different lighting effects and using a mixture of puppetry and live action and things like that, swapping things in and out in incredibly clever ways in order to create like forced perspective and and that kind of stuff. It was so smartly done. Yeah. I loved everybody's shows. The intricacy of the puppet work was really captivating.
Well, and I want to say, I think Phantom's Chorus probably is the show that sold out the most this year.
Hmm.
Aside from the studio shows. Studio shows are a little different because they have half the seating, so they're much more likely to sell out. But from the main stage, I think Phantom's Chorus sold out the most. I know we had The Regular did a bunch of selling out.
Oh my God. So
The Regular is a barfly that is told at the beginning of the script that he's going to get killed by the end of it. And it's just like, and the rest of the script is like, the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what?
Where are we going with this?
Yeah, and it works really well. Mm-hmm. It is Sam Landman is the barfly, and written and directed by Josh Carson. And fuck, it worked, man.
God, it was amazing.
It wasn't supposed to work, but it fucking did.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think they had a lot of sold out shows. Like I said, Campfire Stories did storytelling. Reverend Matt and Special One Lit, or not Special, Whining Sheet. Fuck. How did I flip that one? They did a joint show, and here's the thing. Like, I'm going to say of all of the shows, theirs were the ones that I was the most disappointed in. And that sounds harsh.
Hmm.
But that's not to say I didn't enjoy their shows.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I actually enjoyed watching the two of them work together. I saw 3 out of the 5 shows that they had. Each one was different with a different topic.
Mm-hmm.
But there was, and there was another reviewer that said it, and I was like, that is exactly what I've been feeling. I enjoyed watching them together, but there was a part of me that just really wanted either a Reverend Matt show or a Winding Sheet show. Like,
they're so tonally different.
They're very different, but and I think that especially towards the end, they really worked well together, and they did build to a pinnacle for that final show. But like the first show I saw, which was the second one they did on Demons, I was just like, well, this is fun, this is different, and I enjoy it. But it's not like this is you know a fun thing to do, but not like a pinnacle type thing, right? Right?
It's missing that it's, whatever.
Yeah.
That spark.
Well, I mean, there was spark, though. I don't know how to say it better than it didn't feel like a game offering. That still isn't quite right.
It was missing the, as the French say, le hot dog.
Oh, my God. Le dog. Why would you say that? Gross. You're not French. Shut up. And that's the thing. Like, it was great. It was fine. I think it was just not what I wanted, maybe.
Yeah.
From that. It was like,
you had a different idea of what it was going to be?
I don't even think I had an idea of what it was going to be. I just think that I wanted something different.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's not that what they offered wasn't great. It was, but it's not what I wanted. I wanted a Reverend Matt show that was amazing, or a Whining Sheet outfit show that was possibly even more amazing, because they're incredible at what they
do. Truly.
And it wasn't either of those, but it was both of those. Like, it just, it wasn't what I wanted.
You wanted, well, not peanut butter, but...
Yeah, I wanted my chocolate over here and my peanut butter over here.
Yeah.
Like, it just... The ratio wasn't what I wanted, my peanut butter chocolate mix. I don't know. Mm. I don't know how to describe it better than that, but yeah.
I think we'll just go with that then.
Yeah.
That's the best I got right now.
Cool.
Yeah, and there's several other incredible shows. I'm not going to list them all. I can't. Because I've only listed about 7 or 8, and there were 11 total.
Sure.
I'm going to miss some. But... Yeah. No, it was a fantastic horror festival.
Awesome.
My mocktail bar went over well. It was very pleased
it was
with
great.
That.
Good.
It
I
was,
liked it.
Yeah. So.
Well, I guess my question is, what time did you get home last night?
God damn it.
You don't want to know.
We're so late, it was tomorrow.
Okay.
Actually, though, yes. And that was after sleeping in because of daylight savings.
Sure.
The last show was at 9 yesterday, so it let out at 10. We had an entire teardown. We had to move things from one place to the other. We had to clean the entire venue. Yep.
All right.
I'm here. You're welcome.
Well, should we take a break then?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to do that.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, Apropos of Nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
And I'm Jenna.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
Expect you to die.
Oh, I expect you to die.
I Mostly expect all of us are going to because that's how
it out.
Life works.
No, I'm never going to die. I'm amazing and immortal. Mm-hmm. Hi.
You must be if you think that.
Oh, you think this podcast is going to end someday.
Yeah, the Grim Reaper is going to show up on Jenna's door and Jenna's going to go... okay, but I need you to create a user story first.
Oh, God. Yeah, if you can estimate out the effort. involved in this, and what is the impact to the cross applications? Mm-hmm. That would be great.
Yeah, I actually can't take any time away right now.
Yeah. No, this is just episode 700 of 7,000.
Talk to my PM and we'll schedule we'll schedule a Zoom call on this.
Gross. Ew. Teams meeting.
Oh, oh fuck. Ew.
Teams. That is a horror story right there.
This is the one time that I'm ever going to say and mean
you
there are some awful things about both sides.
Yes, I'm not saying that, you know, Zoom is the end-all be-all, but it's not Teams.
Hey, do we have a Fast Five?
Oh, yeah, we do. It's that time for a Fast Five.
Fast Five!
today's Fast Five comes to us from...
Where'd the thingy go? What the
oh,
fuck?
Oh, my God, Jenna, you would think after 700 episodes you would know how to do this.
Yeah.
Nope,
so anyway, more about
correct.
Horror Fest.
Yeah, okay. I do have more theater productions I can talk about. Anyway, comes to us from...
The committee.
Oh, shit, those fuckers. All right. I mean, hello, committee. I mean, you're hi. Wonderful.
Yeah. Opening
I
thoughts.
Appreciate you.
We hope this finds you before we do.
Oh, shit. Fuck.
That's, I mean, I just came out of a horror fest, so I feel like I should be more horrified, but I am still kind of slightly squigged about it. So, you know,
yeah.
Well done.
This is weirdly right. chilling.
Yeah.
Well, question number one. Salsa or James?
Oh.
I'm
going salsa this time.
Yeah, I feel like if they're coming for us, I'm going to sacrifice salsa first.
They're coming to take me away.
Yeah. Yeah, salsa. Fuck that guy.
Yeah. I mean, as has been said before, when in doubt, the answer is not going to be salsa.
Right.
Okay.
But, like, salsa.
Yeah, I'm not in doubt.
even if there's no doubt, the answer is never salsa.
My answer is salsa.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're allowed to be.
All right. So you're picking James then.
Yep.
Is what I gather. All right.
Aww.
Question. James, I choose you.
I don't know that I would find that as adorable as
James
you do.
Jamachu, I choose you.
I've never been picked first in dodgeball.
Yeah, and you still haven't.
I need a shield.
Yeah.
Look, you don't have to be the fastest person.
You just have to be the widest.
Faster than the slowest person.
He's a big target.
All right.
That's very true. In a lot of ways.
Yep. All right. Question number two. Away or home?
Home.
All right. Away.
That's not his note. That is not, no.
You know our audience can't actually see
you
right now. You
should have stopped at hot dog.
Le hot dog.
Home.
Je voudrais un le hot dog.
Away.
Home.
All right. Question number three. James.
Oh.
Or salsa?
I'm going James.
This time I'm going James.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Great. James all around.
Question number four.
I'm not calling you fat, James.
Home.
But you are all around.
Or away.
I'm going to go away this time. I'll see you guys later.
I'd say I'm going to go home, but I am. So.
Going away.
Right. I will also go away.
Well, you leave the dinger. Leave the dinger.
Ow.
Leave the... Oh, did you step on a Lego?
Uh-huh, I stepped on a Lego.
That's what you get.
And it wasn't even for charity, and I'm really mad about
it. That's what you get for trying to do physical comedy on an audio podcast.
Fuck you, it hurt real bad. I hate you. It was like one of those big long pieces, too, because it got across the entire arch.
I had a date like that once.
I hate you. This is why I don't have children in my house anymore.
Yeah, that's why. Question
Look,
number...
Look, I stopped at one, and she was perfect, so fuck off.
Aww.
Question number five.
Five.
Fuck.
Yes.
Candy corn. Or black licorice.
Oh! Oh, I can't choose between my babies.
I mean, black licorice is less disgusting, so I'll go with that one.
I actually, you're not going to like that salsa. I think candy corn is less disgusting.
Oh, I don't mind. I don't mind black licorice, actually.
I love them both.
I cannot. Black licorice, I don't like, I'm going to say this wrong, anise?
Anise is how I've always heard
anise.
It.
Star anise. I don't like it. And black licorice is far too akin to that, like, that.
Yeah, I'm not.
I can't do it.
I'm not huge. I'm not huge on anise either.
No, what I'm saying is, like, it makes me want to vomit.
Sure.
Oh. So, like, really, between the two of them, I think candy corn is probably my only option.
No, that's absolutely fair. Which one do you eat when you want to vomit?
Yeah.
Oh, Jägermeister. Yes.
I really can't do Akavit or Ouzo. Okay. But, like, black licorice is usually subtle, and it's got sweetness as well, which kind of counteracts the anise.
I think the one time...
But candy corn is just
that I have
foul.
Ever when disliked either of these was when I had traditional Swedish salted black licorice that was too salty.
I've heard that salted black licorice was good.
I've had it, and it's been good.
Mm-hmm.
I bought some somewhere, and it was just
too much
fucking salt.
When Bill and I got married, we had like a dessert table, but we also had like a little candy station where you could have bags and fill up your bags with candy.
Yeah.
And we got black licorice specifically because my daughter liked black licorice.
Cool.
And then we had a bunch of leftover black licorice because nobody fucking wanted it because it's black licorice. So for months, my daughter had black licorice because... Yeah. But no, I can't. No, I have to go candy corn on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's where I'm at.
All right. Now we go and find out what this is all about. Question number one. Salsa or James? Who is hosting this year's committee Christmas party? I said James, so.
I said salsa. Yeah. Yep. There were two salsas to one James.
Yeah.
All right. I will host it.
Hell yes.
Oh, God. You guys, just bring your Switch. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Just go to a bar and play Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you when. It already happened, actually. Sorry. You missed it.
Yeah. Yesterday.
Sorry. It was time sensitive.
Yep.
Oh, fuck. God damn it. Sorry, guys.
Question number two. Away or home? In an ideal situation... Would you prefer to hang out with friends while handing out candy?
Oh.
Or stay home, close the blind, and watch horror flicks?
Hand out candy with friends.
Yeah.
But wouldn't hand out candy be at home?
Well, you're going to your friend's house.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, I would.
Which was pretty much exactly what I did.
You did do that.
I did do that.
With me.
Yeah.
It was great.
We
had a lovely time.
It was good.
Yeah. I'm going to switch to away then.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right.
Question number three, James or Salsa. Who would be scarier to dress up for? Who would be scarier to dress up as for Halloween?
Oh.
Here's the thing.
Oh, shit. Jenna's thought about it.
Neither of you are intimidating people.
Nope.
No.
James is a larger human being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if I was going to do a costume of either of you for Halloween, it would be Salsa with a sword down his throat, but protruding from the chest.
Sure, a terrible mistake.
A terrible mistake. That would be the Halloween costume, and that would be the scarier person to dress up as.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right.
So that's my answer. Also, I would have like a pulsating blood effect so that there was just blurp. It would just blurp every 5 minutes. It would be delightful.
Blurp.
Be blood on everybody's doorstep. It'd be so good.
I mean, I don't think it would be scarier to for me to dress up as myself for Halloween, so I guess I have to say James.
Unless you did it as you with a sword protruding from your chest, in which case.
Still gonna go with James. I would go as James with a sword protruding from my chest.
I mean, just all the way through.
Yep.
Yeah, from the front to the back, yeah.
Like, I'm trying to think of what horrible accident James would get himself into?
So many. Oh, I've almost died many times.
Here's the thing. There's a lot of them, but none of them are quintessential James. Well, like,
I mean, fencing.
If I dressed up as Salsa with a sword, like the handle at my mouth and then like the sword coming out of my chest.
Yeah.
That is understand. Like, everybody is like, oh, because he's a sword swallower.
Right.
You... Like, yeah, you do fencing, but that's not... Like, unless I could find a way to physically associate death by pun, I'm just not sure I could quite capture a quintessential scary James. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know, but either way, it would have been murdered by Jenna.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes. So that for me, it would still be a sword injury. It would just be lower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like... The hip or the side.
Oh, you think I could reach that tall? Cute.
All right, question number four. Home or away? Homemade costume or store-bought?
Homemade.
Oh, if I have the time, homemade, but yeah. I am not opposed to store-bought.
I'm not opposed to store-bought.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, now five people have sent me the same video of a child in a store-bought costume. It is an inflatable chicken. He is in the inflatable chicken, and he has farted in the inflatable chicken.
Oh, no. I'm sorry, buddy.
And he is struggling inside to try to clear it out, but the fan only blows in, and it is necessarily somewhat airtight.
Oh, no. Oh, sweet pea. That does sound like your inner beast coming through. That's, in a child right there. That is that is everything I expect.
Yeah, I guess as long as you're having fun with it, whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, store-bought is great. I like to see what people come up with.
I do enjoy seeing what people come up with, but like, there's a part of me like, there's a weird amount of privilege in how much I know how to sew.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't want to negate anybody else's fun experience for just purchasing something and having a good time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Entirely fair, yeah.
I mean, my costume will be 10 times better because I made it custom to fit me and amazing. And I'm real good at what I do. However.
Oh, but also.
I don't want to negate somebody else's fun experience. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was the I don't remember. I saw a joke somewhere.
I don't believe you.
And it was like, I don't want to say you're going through a dry spell, but Spirit Halloween opened a store in your vagina.
Yeah. And then you got the clap.
Yep. And got the clap.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Timing. Anyway.
Jesus Christ.
Question number five. Candy corn or black licorice? Oh, you son of a bitch.
Oh, or daughter or child. Whatever. Yeah. Don't be gender specific on it.
I wasn't.
I mean, the mom is still a bitch. We can agree on that, though, right?
No, S-U-N.
Oh, all right.
Jesus, Jenna.
What?
Which would you expect?
Jenna's Lord.
Yeah. Hmm? Go ahead.
Which would you expect to find as a garnish for a Malort cocktail for Halloween?
Look, neither of these is going to make it better.
No.
I would definitely say it would have to be black licorice.
It's got
to
be the black licorice. Honestly,
it's
like...
It's already got such a strong...
Yeah, but but you're looking at, like, a weird Bloody Mary type thing with the black licorice sticks. Candy corn would just be a piece of candy corn floating in it, whereas black licorice, you can do things. You can have black licorice cut funny on the rim.
You could do black licorice
straw. You could, black licorice, I think, as a garnish is much more diverse.
Also, versatile. Like, if your base flavor... is nail polish remover, used bandages, and regret.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like black licorice would complement that in the only way that a compliment could be served to it.
Rude.
I think black licorice has a flavor strong enough to actually be felt.
You would be
in
wrong.
A Malort cocktail.
Yeah.
You would be wrong.
No, I agree with Salsa on this one, which makes me feel bad and dirty on the inside, but I do agree with Salsa on this one.
Yep. All right.
All right.
Closing thoughts. You asked for this.
That's true.
Yep. Sure the fuck did.
If you would like to send in a Fast Five, go to AONpodcast.com, click on Submit a Fast Five, and fill out the form.
Yay, the form.
Does anybody have any shout-outs?
I need to give a shout-out to everybody involved in the Twin Cities Horror Festival. We had 12 different producers over 12 different days. Every single one of them outstanding and fantastic. And I know I did not get to talk about a few of you. I am so sorry, but time. My co-hosts were looking at me funny. So thank you to everybody that produced. Thank you to all of the performers and participants that took place within those shows. Thank you so much to all the volunteers that came in to usher, to make sure that the operational aspects of the festival were going. Thank you to the techs. Holy shit, you guys. You have to tech 11 shows inside of like 5 fucking days.
Mm-hmm.
Four fucking days. That's a dumb fucking amount of tech to do. Jeez, and you all fucking nail it every time. I can't even with you. You're the MVPs of this goddamn show. Speaking of MVPs, also Duck Washington and Nissa Nordland. Fucking the executive director and the artistic director. They make everything go. Also, Jenny, the technical director, she also makes everything go. But it's one of those things where, yes, I'm the president of the board and I'm legally responsible for everything, but the three of them make everything happen and I don't have to worry about it. Like, they just do things. And every once in a while I'm like, is that legal? And they're like, yep. And I'm like, cool. Like, I just, that's really what happens for that. Thank you to my board for all of the volunteer time that you put in to help those little bits and pieces of weird things that don't really fall under anybody's purview. Making those happen. Thank you so much for doing that. And thank you a thousand times thank you to our audience. You are a part of our community. You are the part of the community that keeps us going year after year. You guys are beautiful and brilliant, whether you can only see a couple of shows, whether you've seen every show. The CBs that come by with just a bag full of candy and do basically reverse trick-or-treating. The people that come by and just want to talk about their favorite shows at length. The occasional person that stops in between because they know they can't see that particular show, but they want to be the first one in line to that next one.
Mm.
Fuck. And they'll just hang out and talk about what they love about the festival. It's so good, and it just fills my heart every time. Thank you a thousand times thank you to everybody that came out, saw a show, supported in any way, shape, or form. This festival means so much to me. It is such a glorious community of people supporting each other, and we could not do it without every single one of you motherfuckers, so thank you.
I'm
follow that asshole.
Oh, I was just going to say thank you to both of you and to our listeners for it being episode 700.
Gross! He did follow it. So
he did.
Mad.
He absolutely
I'm
did.
I'm so happy to be a part of something.
Oh shit!
This
he's
cool.
Being genuine. Fuck
it.
Yeah. So if you who are listening to this, I appreciate you.
All right.
Thank you, James.
I am going to give my shout out to everyone who voted.
Ooh,
oh, fuck
yes.
By the time you hear this episode,
yep.
Polls will be closed.
Mm-hmm.
It will be done and dusted. And if you are legally able to vote,
except for some
fucking
trick.
Should have. And if you didn't, go fuck yourself, but vote. Yeah. Thank you for voting. Thank you for taking part in our democracy. Thank you for doing the one tiny little thing that this country asks of you in return.
Seriously.
Fucking vote, and thank you for doing that.
Sean, props Katie, to you. You're off the hook.
Yeah, y'all don't need to do that.
Yeah, Sean, Katie, I mean, you're cool.
Dude, take part in your own democracies in your own way, obviously. But
yeah.
Or, you know, whatever it is that you
support
have.
Your own freedom in your Congress.
Indeed.
Of whatever.
So, does anybody have anything to plug?
I do. As a matter of fact.
Jesus Christ, Jenna. I thought you were going to finally
be off. You thought I was going to be done.
Finally.
Oh.
Nope. No rest for the wicked.
Oh, you poor sweet pea. Not me. Normally, I would be done by now. However, I am, in fact, involved with a show going up at the end of this month. And I'm going to bring this up specifically. I was going to wait a week. I was going to be like, I can bring it up next week. But I am the fight director for a show that is taking place starts the final weekend of this month and runs for 3 weeks. 3-4 weeks to the middle of December, the 13th, 14th, 15th, I think, is the last weekend of it. I'll be home for Kalis, the Hallmark parody of the season. It is a Klingon holiday show written by Angela Fox.
Oh, Jesus.
It is a Hallmark parody Klingon Christmas show.
Amazing.
It is glorious in every fucking way possible. I cannot tell you how wonderful and ridiculous and silly and sweet and heartfelt this goddamn show is. I am the fight director, and I have been able to do just some fucking, like, I never thought as a fight director I would be given these specific opportunities. And I'm so happy with these opportunities that I've been given for fighting. But the reason why I'm bringing it up specifically tonight, as opposed to, like, say, next week, is that there was an article that went up. Angela Fox was interviewed by the people of Painesville, or a media company in Painesville, which is not only where she grew up, but also the primary location for the Klingons in this Hallmark parody, because, of course, Klingons would want to go to a place called Painesville. And so Angela was interviewed for that, and it is a delightful article, and I will share the link to that. But she also talked about me and my fights. And they shared a picture of me from, like, 10 years ago. I'm not that tiny anymore. But, and she said really nice things about me, and I don't know what to do with this, so I'm just going to give it to other people and be like, bah! Come see the show. So I'll share the article, but goddamn, I am so excited for this show. And like I said, it opens in a few weeks, Thanksgiving weekend. And we have a lot of different show times available. Come see this. There is fighting. There are carolers, the intergalactic chorus. There's Klingons. We have a holiday market happening.
Ooh.
Before, during, and after the show. There's VIP seating. The VIP people will get a special commemorative item or two for this year. And because we do plan on producing this with the Phoenix in the future, hopefully if we get enough people, so show the fuck up. happy holidays. Yeah, but it'll be a collector's item that you can get every year. So get those VIP tickets.
Nice.
Swanky. And also, I'll be there occasionally, so. Yeah.
The day after Thanksgiving.
When my show opens?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool.
One night only in November.
But, like, when my show opens.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Another entertainment option that you have is vilification tennis. It is Name That Insult. It is the game show-themed show, like, we're collecting survey results for a Family Feud segment. There's so much going into it, and I am super flippin' excited about it. The ticket link is not yet live, but I will keep people posted.
All right. Does anybody have any final thoughts?
Bye-bye, love you, bye-bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody who listens to this podcast. Thank you to the committee for sending in the Fast Five.
Yeah.
On behalf of myself and James and Jenna for 700 fucking episodes. Eat the fucking cake.
I want to blame you, and normally I do blame you, but I
just go.
I'm pretty sure this is actually my fault.
Oh shit!
We've got it on tape.
Oh